now, what are the most important things in my life right now? Is it this two-year-old, or is it in getting this luncheon on for these three women who are coming over?
Elizabeth Elliot says, Hollywood's notion of love is millions of miles from the slightest comprehension of what the love of God is all about. Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of Quest for Love and Love Has a Price Tag, helping you lovingly put God's principles into action in your daily life. Here's Elizabeth.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking today with my friend, Arlita Winston, the mother of five and a woman whose example as a parent has been an inspiration to me and I know to many other people. She told us a story a couple of days ago about when her two-year-old son, Brad, tore one of his own storybooks into bits. She spoke to him quietly. She dealt with him swiftly and firmly. She set him alone on a high stool in the middle of the room. She looked straight in the eye, and she put those torn bits of book in his lap, didn't you, Arlita?
That's it.
And that child, at 2 years old, mind you, was expected to sit there on that stool and meditate on his sins with the evidence, Exhibit A, in his lap. Now, all of these things that you did so wisely and so in control of yourself spoke a much louder message to that little boy than any amount of screaming and jerking him around and yanking him and plunking him with force and violence. I'm sure that that child was aware that he was not the one in charge of that home. I remember listening to Oprah Winfrey. Every now and then, I have to confess, I turn Oprah Winfrey on in my kitchen because she happens to come on when I'm getting supper. And she does have some very interesting things to say. She does have some appalling subjects on her program. But one time she was talking about the discipline of children. And one woman in the audience said, I can't get my two-year-old to go to bed. I mean, I just can't get him in bed at night. And Oprah, with her usual semi-humorous way, sort of whimsical, she turns to the audience and she says, no, she turns to the lady and she said, how old did you say this kid is? The lady says, two. And Oprah turns to the audience, she says, you can tell who's in charge of that home. I mean, imagine, you can't get your two-year-old to bed.
Well, I can imagine.
So Arlita succeeded in getting across a message loudly and clearly without a loud voice and without any violence. And after you let him sit there for a while so that he could understand the importance of your authority as well as the enormity of his crime, shall we say, then did you speak to him again?
Yes, I waited 5 or 10 minutes while he was reflecting, and then I wanted to reinforce it again for emphasis. And I'm sure he wanted to slip right off that stool, but I couldn't let him be the one to tell me when he was going to get down. I needed to remain in control and tell him when he was going to get down. So I used that opportunity to just reinforce it again. Say, no, I want you to look at those pieces of paper. Now you just think about it's no more. The book is all gone.
And Brad didn't sit there and scream and
cry.
Oh,
no.
If he had, and many mothers out there are going to say, my child would never sit there, he would be screaming. What do we say then?
I think mine would have also, had I not started much earlier than this. I really started this, I think, somewhere between the ages of 6 months and a year.
Letting them know that you were in charge.
Yes, and I suppose you can't even limit it to six months. I think if this is built into your whole program that you are in charge, you've been given the authority by God as that parent, that you can move quietly and with confidence.
Right, and that's what needs to get across to so many young mothers who feel very discouraged, the encouragement to the fact that God has never given a new baby to an experienced mother.
No, no.
Every mother who has a new baby has no experience whatsoever and no preparation except whatever she's learned secondhand. But suddenly here she is with this tremendous responsibility. But I'm sure, Arlita, that many of our listeners out there have already done it wrong. They didn't start early enough. Can you give them some help as to what they can do if their child is already 2 years old and a screamer, or maybe even 3 or 4 or 5 years old? What can they do now?
I think first to take reflection on their own state of mind and to ask God to help them to simplify their life so that they're able to put full attention on this growing difficulty. Because I discovered that it really did take my full attention and commitment. And if you have a lot of other activities going on at the same time that the child is erupting in anger, I think the only one who can do something about that is the mother. They need to perhaps simplify their life.
You mean eliminate some of the activities? What do you mean by simplifying their life?
Well, I think, yes, eliminate a lot of the activities that we've, and this may not be a permanent thing, but when you're finding yourself just getting so frustrated and so angry that you're yelling at the child, it means that that child is interrupting some other things that seem more important to you. And I would have to say, you need to think, now, what are the most important things in my life right now? Is it this two-year-old, or is it in getting this luncheon on for these three women who are coming over?
Having the house spotless.
Having the house spotless. There are a dozen things that intrude on the time. And you can never predict when a two-year-old is going to erupt and just not going to do what you ask them to do.
Did you see your job, your primary job, as being that of mothering?
Yes, yes. I remember when Sarah was just very small, and I felt frustrated because I thought I was just doing so little being
Sarah's
at home.
Oldest,
now, Sarah's our oldest, mm-hmm. and other women were out doing important things, and I was just at home being a mother, which is really what I had wanted to be, but sometimes the temptation would sweep over me, and I'd want to be doing something else, quote, important. And one morning in my morning reading in the Bible, this verse stood out in Psalm 68. Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though ye have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold. Now I'm reading that from the King James, which I particularly love because of the poetry. But here I was picturing me with the pots and the pans staying home while the armies were out doing wonderful things. But here I was told by God Almighty that I was doing something of such import that I would share in the spoils brought home, and that I had wings like a dove covered with silver, and my feathers were as yellow gold. This brought value to what I was doing. And I began thinking deeply about this job that God had given me to do in bringing up children.
Motherhood is a career, isn't it? I mean, it's much more than a career, but it's...
And a very joyful one. I think it's been the most important thing I have or ever will do in my whole life.
And you're teaching that little boy in the middle of that kitchen to deal quietly and firmly and lovingly and responsibly before God with a little two-year-old who had just done a silly little childish thing like tearing a book. It isn't only a silly little childish thing, is it? It becomes the very matrix of the deepest kind of personal discipline. And you were able to do that, Arlita, because you as a parent had set an example. From the day that child was born, and presumably before the child is born, he hears the mother's voice as well. But those children, each one of your five children, will have learned a great deal about the character of their parents by the tone of their voice, the gentleness of their touch, the firmness, the solemnity with which you looked him or her in the eye. And for those who would feel discouraged because they just feel as if they've done it all wrong and their kids are not like that and, oh, dear, I'll never have a family like that, they can start over, can't they?
Oh.
And you've given us the clue that the mother has to learn to be quiet before God.
Yes. Always time for a new beginning.
Please read that verse again that you just read us from the Psalms.
Kings of armies did flee apace, and she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Though you have lain among the pots, yet shall ye be as the wings of a dove covered with silver, and her feathers with yellow gold.
There's a big difference in the way the child responds when the mother has responded to God. So we need to encourage those women out there to realize that it's the same Lord that helped Arlita Winston that is available to help them. And he wants to do that, doesn't he?
Yes, and it's the same Lord that's helping me today with the new situations I'm facing. God never stops teaching us.
Yes, when Arlita came into the studio this morning, she said, thank God for quiet time. You have quiet time
every morning,
don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit of time alone with God.
Where I can regroup, think through what I've done wrong, find that consolation and encouragement and comfort, and then the words of how to do it right the next time. But God doesn't seem to get tired.
He's merciful and loving, isn't he?
Over and over and over in his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning, and that's the best time to just meet with him, have that appointment that is sacrosanct, that you just never break.
Thank you so much for being with us, Arlita.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Shadow of the Almighty, The Life and Testament of Jim Elliott. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.